It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. This 12th day of June, 2023, this is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. It's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. But for now, if you're listening live, and welcome, and I'm glad you are, if you pop into the chat room right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers, Theo, and Squeaky, and Ralphs, and Micah. Hey, y'all. And capably moderated by Horn Chief Mathematician, Chief Agronomist, and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. Okay, we want a little more audio, do we? Okay, thank you, Squeaky. Sorry I'm late. But I'm here. At least I'm not sitting in traffic somewhere down in the Kanawha Valley. I just had to battle my way back from Beckley. You know, Beckley's not that big a town, but it has like Boston or Atlanta-level bad traffic. I don't know why. It's just laid out horribly, I guess. But anyway, took Margie to the doctor, came rushing back home because there was no way I was going to lose another more in Monday. No. And by the way, if you are listening to the podcast, pretty please like it or follow it wherever you're getting the podcast. Like it or follow it or push the heart button, leave a comment, tell your friends and neighbors, share it on social media, because it would be great to grow our community. Please, and thank you. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, so consequently we say thank you to our 12th, 11th, and 10th day of the month subscribers. That means, working backwards, thank you to Gary in New York. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Deb. Thank you kindly. Working. Thanks as well to John and Maryland. Hey, John. Thank you to Tony in Chico. Thank you, Christopher in Oregon. Thanks immensely to our buddy Joe Vecchio. Thank you, Dan. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep this independent broadcasting effort on the air for oh so many years. I mean, this is the 20th year. This is 20 years since I came back to radio generally. Next year will be 20 years since the first broadcast of The Horn as a radio program. And then a year after that, it'll be 20 years as a standalone internet-based program. So, wow, huh? Okay, it is. It's Morin Monday, and it's kind of obvious that, well, you know where we're going to be going. I mean, and I'm sorry so many Morin stories center on this topic. I wish it didn't, but, you know, here we are. It is, although, by the way, Robin, that was so rude. Merry Erestmus Eve, y'all. Merry Erestmus Eve. Reports state that Nitwit Nero has arrived down at his tacky little golf course and pile of bricks at Mogilardass. He will be appearing tomorrow in the federal court in Miami. I want to go to Miami. Yeah, sorry. And now you might recall that Scary Jerry said this past Friday that nobody will show up. It's too damn hot, and that may prove to be true. One never knows. But the maggots sure are making some ugly-ass noises. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But more and more information has been coming out over the course of the weekend. And it's hard to argue with, say, former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, who, when asked about the situation, Mark Meadows talked to GB News. No idea who that is. But he said, "I think the chances of a guilty verdict are fairly high, and the chances of real jail time are pretty high." And so they went ahead and said, "Well, what kind of jail time do you think he would get then?" And he said, "It doesn't really matter. Donald Trump is already 76 years old." So he will be at Happy New Arraignment Day tomorrow in Miami. And I'm just... I hope it can be peaceful, but I also recognize the time and place in which we live. I mean, for God's sakes. Nazis, you know, the same Nazis who actually promoted the campaign of Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis in his first run for governor, and without whose help he probably would not have become governor. Well, the Nazis have proudly shown up with their Nazi flags to protest outside Disney World. That was this past Saturday. Abigail Disney, the granddaughter of Roy Disney, Walt's brother, sharing the video, she said, "My grandfather is spinning in his grave. There were about 15 Nazis outside Disney World with their hate flags, and they grunted and saluted each other and did Nazi stuff for about 2 hours. Counter protesters largely left them alone, except for a couple of people who showed up. Anna Escamani, a Democratic member of the Florida House of Representatives, said
It's absolutely disgusting to see what has become a common presence of Nazis in Florida, and even more disturbing when they are holding signs and flags that support for people like Governor DeSantis. And she said it's getting more and more common to see Nazis in Florida. Oh, GB News, thank you, serving as the Horn ad hoc GB News research department. Steve in New York says, GB News, the nutters in the Tory party, full-blown Johnsonistas, started a Newsmax Onan-style news network. And by the way, Bojo the Clown, has exited Parliament stage right. He's not in government at all now. You know, you've gone full-on toxic when... Yeah. Funny how we interpret... But back to the Nazis at Disney World. Funny how we interpret the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. To give aid and comfort the fucking Nazis. Really, sorry about the early F-bomb. But I don't think you should ever say Nazis without saying the word fucking in front of them. Fucking Nazis. Because they are. They're just disgusting. But as for tomorrow, well, Erasmus Day, happy new arraignment. Well, Nitwit Nero has been trying to incite another insurrection. On Saturday, Nitwit Nero said, "This is the final battle. Our people are angry." According to Vice reporting today, maggots are planning mass protests at a Miami courthouse on Tuesday following Trump's indictment last week. Many are promising to come well armed. One maggot said, "MAGA will make Waco look like a tea party." Another maggot said, "I used to laugh when my mom said she was afraid if she registered Republican she may be arrested one day. I'm not laughing anymore. Just buying more ammo." Photos of Attorney General Merrick Garland are being posted on maggot sites. "America cannot allow this cowardly thug to destroy our democracy. This is what the Second Amendment was made for. Buy a gun or help organize your local militia today." They're saying things like "revolution now" and "I want blood. I want fucking blood." Another one of those Maya Angelou moments now, isn't it? When people tell you who they are, believe them the first time. And Nitwit Nero is loving every minute of it. The story at Vice says that Nitwit Nero, quote, has done nothing to tamp down any potential threats, repeatedly calling for his own supporters to turn up en masse in Miami on Tuesday, just as he did ahead of the January 6th Capitol riot. Nitwit Nero also shared a meme about his upcoming arraignment. And the caption said in all caps, "This is not a game. This is war." So then Sunday he was off to have a conversation with his old buddy Roger Stone, whom he gave a pass to. Speaking to Roger Stone, he said,
"Our country has to protest. We've lost everything. Our country is being taken away from us. Our country is going communist. It's going Marxist. It's going really bad.
Wow. That must be terrible. Communist, Marxist, really bad.
It's so bad it's worse than communist or Marxist. It's Carxist. But the people of our country aren't that way. But the people running it are. And we need strength at this point. And everyone's afraid to do anything. They're afraid to talk, and they have to go out and they have to protest peacefully. They have to go.
And the consensus seems to be that, you know, some of the really hardcore dead end or hard cases may show up. Jeff Charlotte said Saturday's claim that World War III will occur if he's not back and that he's the only one who can stop the obliteration of the world are claims to divinity. According to The Guardian this past Friday, there are 12 million Americans out of some 335 to 350 million who believe violence is justified to restore Trump to power. Y'all, they want to do it again so bad they can taste it. So his date is at his date with destiny is 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tomorrow. And we all know about the 37 charges. We know that he's trying to find local counsel down in Miami, and at least one high-profile hotshot lawyer has said no. It will, of course, be a catch-and-release because I guess it's just not done to put an old white man with 37 felony counts against him in the clink. Pending bail. Here's a question, though, and I don't know the answer. It is typical in situations like this to compel the defendant to surrender his passport. I wonder if Nitwit Nero will have to. So his plane landed in Miami earlier today, this afternoon. And then, of course, after he's arranged, he's going to get back in his Sopwith Camel and zip back up to Bed Monster and hold a fundraising rally and probably rake in God alone knows how much money just because that's, you know, some people just love a crook. Look, there were women who had crushes on Ted Kaczynski, okay? Now, we've wondered about this, and we have an answer now. One of his pettifoggers, the aforementioned counsel for the parking garage, Alina Habanahabanahana, who is decidedly not part of the documents felony defense. Well, she went on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda on Sunday and said that he won't take a plea deal, especially when he's not done anything wrong. He would never admit guilt. So Laura Looney is planning a peaceful rally outside the courthouse. Bring your Trump T-shirts and your Trump flags. and bring lots of love for Donald Trump. Meanwhile, out in Arizona, Carrie Lake, who is still not governor of Arizona, said, and this is a quote, "We're at war, people. If you want to get to President Trump, you're going to have to go through me, and you're going to have to go through 75 million Americans just like me." You got Andy Biggs from Arizona saying, "We've reached a war phase, for an eye." And then all the bullshit from Clay Higgins of Louisiana Stan. And a back reference to the 70 days that Roger was asking about. So the 70 days, I misspoke on Friday. I thought it had something to do with, and it does, but in an ancillary fashion. No, the 70 days is the federal definition of a speedy trial. A trial that starts no later than 70 days after an arraignment. But those 70, that 70-day threshold can be pushed back by however much pettifogging legal mischief his defense team wants to make with motions and, well, motion practice. One individual said, "There's going to be motions to dismiss it on the basis of selective prosecution. You prosecuted me, but you didn't prosecute Hillary Clinton or President Joe Biden for possessing classified documents as well." And then they'll probably wrangle over venue. They'd like to move it to West Palm, where Nitwit Nero has more maggots, as Jerry explained. West Palm is really maggoty. he's trying to put forward a brave face, but you know he's shitting himself. Speaking to Politico this past weekend, Julius Geezer said,
"I'll never leave. Look, if I would have left, I would have left prior to the original race in 2016. That was a rough one."
Yeah, he says if he has to, if they put him in prison, he'll run for president from prison. Oh, just like Lyndon LaRouche. Well, speaking of prison, Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, is dead. He was moved from Supermax in Florence, Colorado, a couple of years back as his health deteriorated. He was 81 when he died. So there's an opening at the Supermax facility, maybe right next door to the Blind Shake. I don't know. But there's plenty of room in Florence. Should that facility become necessary. And that could be cool. Oh, but back to Alina Habana, counsel for the parking garage. She showed, like I said, she showed up on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, where she said a lot of really dumb things, like the Presidential Records Act will be determinative of his innocence. We have And then MSNBC brought on Georgetown Law Professor Paul Butler, who made short work of counsel for the parking garage.
South Florida at this hour for tomorrow's arraignment, where we'll see the case begin to play out in real time. First, with that arraignment in Miami, followed just a few hours later by Trump's first major fundraiser of the 2024 campaign. The public response has been typical Trump, slamming the special counsel, describing the case in apocalyptic terms. But his legal team faces a daunting challenge, fighting a detailed indictment in which Trump's own words are being used as evidence, based around his alleged attempts to mislead the DOJ and hold on to classified documents. Here's how Trump's former Attorney General Bill Barr framed it on Fox News.
This one stung.
This entire thing came about because of reckless conduct of the president. If he had just turned over the documents, which I think every other person in the country would have done, they're the government's documents, they're official records, they're not his personal records. Battle plans for an attack on another country or Defense Department documents about our capabilities are in no universe Donald J. Trump's personal documents. If even half of it is true, then he's toast. I mean, it's a very detailed indictment, and it's very, very damning.
I want to bring in NBC's Garrett Hake, who is in Miami for us. Devlin Barrett is national security reporter for The Washington Post. And Paul Butler is a former federal prosecutor, Georgetown law professor, and an MSNBC legal analyst. So, Paul, is the real challenge for Trump's team not to explain why he took the documents, but why he didn't give them back?
That's right. And that's really the difference between Trump and people like Pence and Clinton. They cooperated. According to the special counsel, Trump covered up. He obstructed justice. And that's why he's facing these very serious espionage charges. He's trying to make it sound like espionage means he spied. Espionage Act under this context means he held on to documents that he knew didn't belong to them, that if they got into the hands of the wrong person, could undermine national security.
So, Devlin, we're hearing from a lot of Trump defenders arguing that there's a legal double standard at play, and I want to play some of that from over the weekend.
Most Republicans believe we live in a country where Hillary Clinton did very similar things and nothing happened to her.
I have to interrupt just for 1 second. That, of course, is Lady G. Miss Lindsay, who was apparently going through some things this weekend. I mean, talk full-on bitch mode. Most Republicans think Hillary Clinton. So I'm sorry I interrupted, but okay. Back to it.
Standard at play, and I want to play some of that from over the weekend.
Most Republicans believe we live in a country where Hillary Clinton did very similar things and nothing happened to her.
Joe Biden wants to give Donald Trump a death sentence for documents. He's facing hundreds of years for mishandling documents, and they want him to die in jail. And yet Hillary Clinton's standing free today.
When you have two people who do the same.
And this, of course, is Jim Jacketoff Jordan bringing to the fore his legal acumen acquired at that law school that you have to draw a picture of a turtle on the back of a matchbook and send it in to attend.
Same thing, and one has the standard that I've talked about, but the only one who gets indicted is the Republican. The only one who gets indicted is the one who was actually president who did it the right way. Oh, my goodness.
So, Devlin, you wrote an entire article about this, why Donald Trump got charged when Hillary Clinton didn't. But I wonder if the real question here for...
Time out. I know, Emilio. Butter emails. Ah! She bleached the server. It was a kind of an ash blonde bleach. It was very pretty. If you go through the indictment... And I think this is, I mean, because within the purview of the whole Joe Biden's doing this, trying to kill him in prison business. Well, it's a hell of a thing to note that every single witness in this entire case is one of Trump's people. There's not a Democrat in the lot. Not one. Now, this is the same Joe Biden that let's see, what did Nancy Pace say? Nancy Mace from South Carolina stand? You know, one of the good ones, because she thinks that maybe women shouldn't have to get pregnant every time they fuck? It's Monday. Now, she was running her mouth about how the Republicans got owned by a man who couldn't find his pants, and yet somehow he's also an evil genius who can turn and flip Republican cronies who were right there with Nitwit Nero, loved him, admired him, respected him. They're going to have to pick one and live with it. Because I'm telling you, the cognitive dissonance of trying to hold those two concepts in your mind at the same time will wind up making you drool your oatmeal. There's not going to be a single Democrat called to the stand. Not one. There will be no one from the Biden administration called to the stand. This is a speaking indictment. The narrative is right there. The indictment essentially forms the basis of what the opening statement is going to be. They can just read the indictment if they want to. But somehow, Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, didn't do anything remotely similar to what Nitwit Nero did. Back to the clip.
Prosecutors is, can they convince jurors that there's a difference? Can they help jurors to understand why this case rises to the level it's gotten to?
Right. And so that's the big difference between the legal system and the political system. The political system is a lot of people talking, often not based on fact. The legal system, the court system, is based on presenting the facts as they have been shown to a jury. And a jury is going to have to make decisions about those facts. And that isn't necessarily going to convince the political world, but it matters a great deal in that courtroom.
Okay, let's talk about the political world then, Garrett. Tell me what's going on behind closed doors in Miami today, the Trump strategy, how they're handling this is very obvious, but sort of what's their sort of long-term goal here? What are we going to continue to hear, not just from Donald Trump, but from others?
Well, the good news about the Trump strategy is it's usually right out there in the open. And Chris, it frankly doesn't always include a long-term goal. In the short term, the strategy has been quite clear. They're on the attack against the special counsel, against President Biden, against the Department of Justice, against the president's legal enemies, trying to make them into his political enemies. That Truth Social post that you mentioned at the top of the program, in which he vows he'll create his own special counsel to go after Joe Biden, who he calls the most corrupt president in history, is all part of a political strategy to kind of turn this on its head and force Republican voters and Republican candidates to choose sides. The way the Trump team has framed this issue is you're either with Donald Trump against a DOJ that most Republicans don't like and already think is biased, as Lindsey Graham said in that clip, or you're with these liberal prosecutors. That's what worked for them in New York. That's what they think will work for them here politically as well. Now, around New York, they raised about $12 million off that indictment, arraignment, and the television coverage that followed. They're trying to operate from a similar playbook here and just keep jamming his Republican rivals into having to back him up or at least back off of him while he deals with these legal issues. The polling so far continues to indicate that it's working. He's got a commanding lead in basically every national poll that I've seen.
Yeah, and two new ones for sure. So when you talk about this juxtaposition, Paul, of legal versus political, I want to play for you something that one of Trump's lawyers had to say.
What I can tell you is he has every right to have classified documents that he declassifies under the Presidential Records Act. So, yes, they're making it sound like a five-alarm fire. It's not. It's a very simple thing that everybody, and we've seen numerous people.
To everybody, everybody. In my parking, my client, the parking garage, did this. Because this is Alina Havana, Havana, Havana.
Able to take it. And frankly, he was the only one that could take classified documents that he declassified under the Presidential Records Act.
With his mind, he declassified them. With the powers of his mind.
It's a very big brain. It's a very good brain. My mother always told me that. You know, when she was potty training me. Oh, Donnie's got such a big brain. He's a very smart boy who doesn't putty his pants anymore.
Exact. People forget that. Is that something, Paul, you would expect to hear at trial?
No.
I hope not, because it would almost be malpractice. The Presidential Records Act is not anything that Donald Trump is charged with. He's charged with very serious federal felonies. And for all of those scandalous charges in the indictment, the problem for Donald Trump is that Jack Smith has receipts. He's got dozens of those documents pertaining to national security. He's got photos. He's got audio and videotape. He's got text messages. And Chris, what's probably most worrisome for Donald Trump is that the special counsel also has a lot of evidence that we don't yet know about. You can be sure that he's saving some of the most incriminating evidence against Donald Trump for the trial.
I know you talk to a lot of people, Devlin. Is there something that, in the conversations you've had over the weekend, that either national security officials or other people on the periphery of it are wondering whether that will come out at trial? Or is there something that a lot of people seem to agree on who you're talking to that they think is the strongest part of the case as written in the indictment?
So I think there's a few things. One, they have Trump on tape talking about his understanding of what classified information is. Obviously, that's pretty good evidence. Two, they have video of boxes being moved. They can track the movements of a lot of this material in real time as the government is trying to recover it. That's very important evidence. And three, you know, if you look at the way they've structured this indictment, I think it's really worth underlining here. He was not charged for any of the documents that he gave back to the archives. That's 197 documents that he was not charged with. He was charged with the documents that he kept or that he had to be pried out of him through the subpoena. Those documents he were charged with. So it's not so much about the taking, it's about the keeping and the hiding. And they have a lot of evidence.
It's not about the cat. It's always about the cover-up. But poor Lindsey lost his shit on George Snuffleupagus on Sunday. It was bad. Real bad. Let me see. I've got that here. Now, this is just a straight-up, yeah. George isn't exactly going to bear down. You know, Mike Wallace, he ain't.
Donald Trump has said repeatedly that he did nothing wrong. Do you believe that?
Well, here's what I believe. We live in an America where if you're the Democratic candidate for president, he'll...
Now, not to put too fine a point on it, but... Do you believe he did nothing wrong? That's the question. Here's what I believe. We live in an America where many Americans believe yada 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 yada. Bullshit. He can't answer that question because Nitwit Nero might get mad at him and like text mean things about him. Lindsey's a little short on bravery sometimes.
Well, here's what I believe. We live in an America where if you're the Democratic candidate for president, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, you can set up a private server in your basement to conduct government business. And when an investigation is had about your activity. No, let me finish.
Let me finish. Oh, he's pissy and mad. Somebody needs to get him Darvon the Margarita.
But you didn't answer the question.
That was ridiculous. Well, yeah, I'm trying to answer the question from a Republican point of view.
As opposed to a factual point of view. I mean, Not saying, just saying.
That may not be acceptable on this show.
It may not be acceptable on this show. Does he not realize, Miss Lindsay, how pathetic that makes him look? Because it does. My buddy John in Central PA pointed out, you've been saying this for years because Kyle Griffin over at NBC said Trump's arraignment can't go forward unless he finds local counsel, and it's unclear whether he has. At least one prominent Miami-based defense attorney has turned down Trump. If Trump doesn't find local counsel, the surrender and first appearance will still happen, but the arraignment may have to be postponed.
Your Honor, nobody wants to... It's all a bunch of liberals down here.
Oh, good God. There's always... There's always an excuse. Oh, and got a couple of great emails here. Kevin in Western Mass with our obligatory Star Trek reference for the day. Vol from Star Trek. Is Trump like Vol in, I believe it was called the Apple episode of Star Trek? The god the people felt compelled to feed? We must feed Vol. He hungers. Then Captain Kirk freed their minds. Seriously, though, Trump hungers for attention and fealty like the Vol character. Anyway, today's Star Trek reference. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Kevin. As for Trump's counsel, John in Central PA says, I hate to say this, but somebody's going to have to pull a John Adams and do the devil's deed because he does have a right to counsel. Well, he does. But the thing is, the counsel he has a right to be paid. And at this point in time, any lawyer who signs on and does not get the money, you know, those three basic rules they teach you on the first day of law school, David, up in Oregon, you've recently been through this. Didn't they? The first three rules on the first day of 1L. Get the money up front. Get the money up front. And get the money up front. No payment plans. No, get the money up front. And I'm guessing maybe by now, some lawyers have figured out that he stiffs his counsel. And then this from David, one of many Davids in our community are many Davids. This is David, well, you'll find out. I love your program on the horn. Subject line, race memorandi. E. I love your program on the horn. I'm a retired Latin and German teacher here in Carbondale, Illinois. You know me as Mellow Moonlit Meadow. Forgive my minor criticism of your Latin refs. Oh, there's nothing to forgive. My Latin references are sketchy at best. Your legal Latin is better than mine. I had to AI two of your remarks. I'm blown away by your eloquence and humor. At 77, I still can't shake the teacher in me. And I'm glad you can't, David. Nor should you try. From AI, the use of mens rea has evolved significantly throughout history, particularly in relation to criminal law. In early Roman law, mens rea was a key concept used to establish criminal liability based on the perpetrator's state of mind. Over time, the focus shifted towards proving intent as the key element in criminal liability. In modern times, the use of mens rea has become more standardized and is often used to establish the level of intent required for a particular crime. The concept is also used to determine the appropriate punishment for a crime and has become a central tenet of criminal justice systems around the world. Mens rea is a legal term that refers to the mental state or intention of a person when committing a crime. The term comes from Latin and means guilty mind. It is an important concept in criminal law and is used to determine the degree of culpability of the accused. The origin of mens rea can be traced back to early Roman law, where it was used to establish criminal liability based on the perpetrator's state of mind. Res is a fifth declension feminine noun with no form spelled rea. I believe the current Icelandics call their parliament the thing from the Roman usage of res publica. Aha! So Raya is not related to race, as in race publica. I stand corrected. Actually, I'm being corrected, and I'm sitting. In Latin, the noun nauta is masculine. Yes, Flavio corrected me on Friday. Some other first declension masculine nouns in Latin include puer, boy, poeta, poet, agricola, farmer, and incula, resident. AI was wrong about puer. I was brazen enough to correct the AI. Of course you were, David. You're a Latin teacher and a German teacher. Apologies for the mistake, said AI. You are correct. Puer is a second declension masculine noun in Latin. Yes, it is. And, of course, puerile is a pejorative, meaning childish, basically. And I think Monkey Up described it. Didn't Monkey Up use that word to describe Nitwit Nero? David, thank you so much for that note. I really appreciate it. And you know, race, though, going back to race, since you are also a German teacher, I trust you have read Mark Twain's The Awful German Language, and I'm about to steal from it. Race can mean anything from bilge water to mother-in-law. It's not true, but it's still funny. So we have that. Thank you, David. I loved you. I love that note. Thank you so much for sending it along. And Steve in New York with some holiday wishes. I want a message to you and the entire Horn Family Community Congregation. I want to first wish you an all an early Merry Arraignmas. We need to remember, however, that the Arraignment Fairy will not visit us unless we go to bed early. Oh, well, I'll be all snuggled up in bed as soon as the sun sets. Thank you, and thank you for the reminder, because no one wants to be unvisited by the Arraignment Fairy. She brings copies of the Trump indictment for you to read at your leisure, and maybe a shiny 50-cent piece. Cowardly thug Merrick Garland. Steve said, given how these nutballs are threatening him and his family, that doesn't look very cowardly to me. No. Cowardly thug is more along the lines of Josh Hall and Ass, with the track to Yakety Sax playing in all of our little MP3 players in our brain. I didn't know this. As to Boris Johnson taking his leave, Steve knows there's a group called the Privileges Committee in the House of Commons. The committee is set to issue its report about whether Johnson had intentionally misled the House of Commons. The committee has the power to make a number of recommendations as to punishment. The Rules Committee say that if the committee recommends a suspension of at least 10 days, that person would have to have run in an election in his constituency. This is called a by-election. From what I understand, the committee was set to propose a 20-day suspension of him from the House of Commons, which would have triggered a by-election. In a two-page resignation letter, it was nothing but a screed blaming everyone else, crying, witch hunt. Yes, witch hunt. Sound familiar? And that the Privilege Committee was forcing him out and is a kangaroo court. Mind you, the Privileges Committee had a Tory majority, and the House of Commons has a Tory majority. He would have then had to run in the by-election in a majority Tory constituency. As my favorite radio journalist in London said this morning, he chickened out, turned tail, and ran. I know this is probably more than the Horn wanted to know, but I write this all here to show that the Johnson equals Trump equals coward. And that is a strong equation. And I think the proof is solid. Randy Radar, he was for him before he was against him, before he was for him. And that would be Precious Lindsay, I do think. Oh, and I didn't mention the fundraising goal back at the beginning of the program. We're into the second hour of the program, and it's at $1,600. We're still playing catch-up from May's less than stirring beginning, ending, rather, in June. Yeah. So $1,600 if we could, you know, knock out one day of one program's worth of fundraising. I mean, actually, $100 would wipe out. Let's see. $100 would wipe out last Monday. No, last Friday, because I wasn't here last Monday. Last Friday. So, wow. And then we're unfunded for Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, today. Wait. We'd actually, the $100 would actually wipe out Wednesday before last, and then we're down for Thursday, Friday, Tuesday. No, I was right the first time. Anyway, we're $1,600 in the hole, okay? That's enough of that. Bringing his legal mind to bear, Steve says, let's remember something about the case against the orange stain. The indictment does not charge him with possession with intent to disseminate classified documents, so classification isn't even an element in this crime. Under the Espionage Act, the requirement is that it be national defense information. Its classification never enters the equation. This is one of the primary issues that the for-profit media again misses. As we have repeatedly said, they don't do their homework, so they don't have brains to call any of these maggots into question. I think you're right. No, Dave number 11, I don't just delete your emails, I read them. Dave number 11, and falling. No, you're not. I know you just delete my emails, but Weather Vanes is incredible and deserves mention. I haven't listened to it yet. I really, really want to. It's the new Jason Isbell album collection. Do we call them albums anymore? I don't know. Dan says, legal counsel, Trump better call Saul. No, I love your emails, Dave number 11. That hurts my heart. Two people asking the same question. Public defender, please, LOL. And Kevin in Western Mass says, can Trump be compelled to accept a federal public defender if he can't obtain counsel by tomorrow at 3 p.m.? It's just an arraignment, not too complicated. And Dave in the Blind said, since Trump doesn't want to find a defense attorney, he's going to use this to drag it out. After a sufficient time, the court may look over at Trump and ask him if he needs the court to step in and provide counsel for the indigent. A public defender in Trump's case would be an admission on Donnie's part that he's flat fucking busted broke. Have Mr. Douglas send Mr. Haney to law school and then send him to the court in Miami, your friend Dave in the Blind. By the way, they should make him sit in a cell waiting for his appearance with the Secret Service posted outside. He needs to get a foretaste of what he's got coming. And look, let's talk about this for a second. And kind of back to what Steve was saying about the for-profit media. He faces up to 400 years in jail. 50,000 Cronkites. Yeah, if he was convicted on every count and the judge decided to run every count consecutively and not concurrently, that might come to 400 and max out every count, that could come to 400 years. That doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. And since we're talking about things that just don't happen, Steve brought something to my attention over the weekend that was truly bilious. I mean, God, the fawning. Where did you send it to me, Steve? Well, somebody saying that, you know, if he's convicted, Joe Biden should let him spend a day in jail and then pardon him. Oh, and heal the nation. Our long national nightmare is finally over. Sit, Liberty. Sit. Well, the biggest problem with that is that in order to accept a pardon post-conviction, he'd have to admit guilt. That's around which one may not go. Or get. Our buddy Mellow Moonlit Meadow has me inside my own head checking my grammar. Thank you. But no, he's not going to admit guilt.
I am an innocent man. Yes, I am an innocent man. So innocent. They were mine to take with me. I just wanted a souvenir of our great military's plans to eradicate Iran and the mullahs from the face of the earth. And I wish I could have. If I get made president again, maybe I will. Oh, God.
Better call Saul. Yeah. So, anyway, back down to Florida. There are people down there who are talking some serious shit. And, by the way, before we get back down to Florida, the DOJ is asking for a 14-year sentence for a member of the January 6th domestic terrorism attack on the Capitol. Daniel D.J. Rodriguez has pled guilty to fighting police during the domestic terror attack and tasering a former D.C. Metro police officer, namely Mike Fanone, before he stormed into the Capitol. So prosecutors want a 14-year sentence, and they want him to pay back $98,927. Meanwhile, Daniel D.J. Rodriguez, they're spelling it with a Q. I don't know. Talked about how Rodriguez had struggled to find a place where he felt he truly belonged and found a cause that gave his life meaning when he joined the MAGA movement in California. The pettifoggers went on to say that he saw Nitwit Nero as, quote, the father figure and leader Mr. Rodriguez, here we have a G, never had in his life. He trusted Trump blindly and admired Trump so much that when he wrote about him in social media messages, he just called him Dad. Aw, Father's Day's coming up Sunday. Daddy. It was Mr. Rodriguez's I'm not going to take the time to do it. It was Mr. Rodriguez's unwavering belief in the words of the former president that drove him to lose all sense of right and wrong and led him to take part in the tragic actions that unfolded in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. The government wants 14 years. The pettifoggers for this terrorist are saying, how about 5? He will be sentenced on the summer solstice. May his sentence be as long, relatively speaking, as that day is. He wrote a letter to Officer Fanone apologizing to him, saying, he said,
I wish I was smarter. I want to apologize to your children as well. If I could go back and change what I did, I would. Because now I'm going to prison. I hope it makes you feel better that I'm going through a very tough time in jail.
You know what would have made Officer Fanone feel better? Not getting tasered by this fuck stick. But that's maybe a little too obvious. But some of these people are not getting the message. And so a reporter on Twitter. She is Olia Scootercaster, Ukrainian-American journalist. I stay back to document and observe, presenting the world's raw and unfiltered reality. Okay. Well, she found a maggot down in Miami, or down in around I don't know. This guy's a real winner. Here we go. Get the hockey puck and the duct tape.
I'm third generation Polish Jew. I know all about immigration. I know all about hard work. That's what my grandfather instilled. A lot of my family blood spilled for this country. I'm not going to let it go to waste. I'm not. I refuse. I did 19 years here as a federal agent in Dade County. I'm just not going to let this country go to waste. And right now it's going to waste. The left is so far gone. I have two stepdaughters. I pulled both of them out of public school because they're being indoctrinated in Orange County. Orange County is as blue as Broward. The rest of the
They're being indoctrinated, you know, with math and English grammar. Dude's got a set of pipes on him, though, doesn't he? He's a former federal agent, and he's not going to let the country go to waste. And you never get any explanation of what it is that constitutes the country going to waste. Because if they were to ask that question, well, then you'd start finding out about the Jewish space lasers, and this guy's Jewish, and George Soros, and the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, and Q. Second Star Trek reference. This is the meme with Picard with his hand, with his forehead and in the palm of his hand.
The state's red. You know, we have to stand up for that flag. We have to stand up for our beliefs, and we got to put God back in this country. If we forget about him, he's going to forget about us. And right now, we're forgetting him.
You know, for a guy who's Jewish, he talks a lot like an evangelical.
And we're forgetting Israel. We forget both of those. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Because there's a lot of boys like me that are ready. All we need is an order. We're ready.
What is the biggest fear of what might happen?
Well, if he gets indoctrinated, January 6th is going to look like a playground.
Indoctrinated? This dude been... He doesn't sound drunk. But you heard what I heard, right?
It's an order. We're ready.
What is the biggest fear of what might happen?
Well, if he gets indoctrinated, January 6th is going to look like a playground.
Oh, wait, he's rubbing his nose. Never mind. A little Bolivian marching powder.
It's going to look like a playground from the inside voices that I hear from all the militias and everything else. It's going to be a playground. But if they want to fight, bring it. I mean, I watched Kamala Harris in Orlando. I watched Antifa throw bottles, spit on my child, throw stuff at us. They
sure.
told us to refrain ourselves. Really? Okay. But it is what it is, you know. This country's so left right now, but we got to bring it back to the right. We got to get right on the right path. We got to bring everything back.
More
if
fascism.
We don't, we're going to crumble. We're going to be a third world nation. And that's not the American way. The American way is you come here, like my grandfather did. You work, you make a hard living, you prosper, you live good. Shouldn't have to worry about anything. Now I'm worried about this country. This country is not going to fade. She hasn't faded through a civil war. She hasn't faded through anything. She's always maintained, always stood up. True Americans stand up, and that's what I am. Take this country without a fight. My son is a proud boy. My oldest son, he's 25 years old. I'm not going to disclose his name. He's been with Enrique since day one. And we don't back down. We're just quiet.
Your son's a traitor.
What about the indictment brings you out here in terms of supporting the president against the indictment that was filed against
him? We just have to show the man support that we're here for him. The way he stands up for us, You got to stand up for him.
Did you read? What? Then this is not rhetorical. What does he do that makes this clown think that he's standing up for him? Donald Trump would not cross the street to say hello to this freakish goon. What's he standing up for? I mean that seriously. What is that? What does this mean? Yeah, he said, this is what I hear. Because he's out there on all the, you know, maggot message boards, I guess. And the Proud Boys are standing by and standing ready. Emilio says, all the voices in his head are telling him he's right. Yeah.
The indictment by chance? And do you have
I read it.
What were your takeaways from the indictment, out of curiosity?
To be honest with you, I have sources still in the military. I have sources still in law enforcement. I don't believe everything. No offense to you. I don't believe everything that I hear. I search my facts first.
With the Google.
You know, just like everything else, brother, you got to search your facts before you can pronounce anything. So.
Do you think everyone will, it'll be a time?
And yet, everything in that indictment is facts that were adduced before a grand jury, tried and true and oath sworn. They didn't all just take some molly and sit down and come up with some really cool thing. No. But he has sources in law enforcement and sources in the military, and his son's a proud boy. They're out there. And he's Jewish, and he will proudly march under a Nazi banner.
And we're all together again.
I hope so. I really hope so. I hope and pray. I mean, I pray every day. You know, we are all God's children. But I was raised to be my brother's keeper.
Except for the part where January 6th is going to look like a playground. Not kidding. They're not kidding. Gracious sakes. And of course, he is having a hard time finding a lawyer. According to the news site The Messenger, quoting one federal criminal defense lawyer in the Southern District of Florida who said he had been contacted. The problem is none of us want to work for the guy. He's a nightmare client. Another lawyer said, hell, I'd love to do it. I think the case is weak, but my wife would divorce me, and my kids wouldn't want to talk to me if I defended Trump. So according to the report, Nitwit Nero's team has interviewed at least six law firms and may have found one dumb enough to sign up. Of course, last Friday, this past, two of his pettifoggers, Jim Trusty and John Rowley, well, they said, see you later! But Todd Blanche, who quit a silk stocking firm in New York to represent him on the fraud charges there, is going to show up in court with Nitwit Nero, along with another lawyer named Chris Kies, and a lawyer to be named later. And they're trying to, the team of pettifoggers as it stands is desperately trying to find a specialist in the Classified Information Procedures Act. Yeah, okie doke. Oh, and the guy whose son is a 25-year-old Proud Boy. Apparently, the Proud Boys are not as into standing up for Trump now. Again, Vice News today said that ever since the latest batch of criminal charges against the former president dropped, this time under the Espionage Act in a federal court in Florida, the public response from the Proud Boys has so far been a resounding meh, with only tepid interest in the indictment. Part of the reason is because they've got something else to focus on. The Proud Boys have a project attacking Pride celebrations. But the article goes on to note that in North Carolina and Tulsa, Oklahoma, Proud Boy chapters are also meh. But that doesn't mean others aren't interested in violence. They're just not that into him anymore. But that's not to say the Nazis aren't, or the Patriot Front, or the Free Percenters, or the Oath Keepers. Oh, no. No. They're watching this unfold over in Mother Muscovy, trying to figure out how to play it to the Kremlin's best advantage. Oh, and this. The Miami Herald says that Aileen Cannon has not been taken off the case, but the arraignment itself will be handled by Magistrate Judge Jonathan Goodman, which I'd kind of wondered about, because that's generally the purview of magistrate judges. The Miami Herald reported Cannon, who had been widely reported to be handling those duties, will still remain on the historic case as lead judge, but Magistrate Goodman is a well-regarded veteran magistrate who once worked as a newspaper reporter. So she's still there, but she won't be on the arraignment to, you know, and darn the luck, she won't be able to kiss the ring. Darlene with a question. Why aren't the reporters calling this asshole traitor out? Oh, I know, the rhetorical question. I know you know. They're talking about the guy in the clip that's in January 6th is going to look like a party. Are they going to storm the courthouse? And again, not a rhetorical question. Now that we know what his followers are capable of and ready, willing, and able to do, is it too much to hope that maybe law enforcement will be a little better able to defend themselves? I know, that's a lot, but yeah. Oh, there's a thought. Steve in New York says, maybe Jim Jacket Off Jordan could represent Nitwit Nero. Of course, he'd have to wear a jacket in the courtroom. I object! Put on your jacket, Jim. It's definitely a Maureen Monday. We could be all over the place. Now, there are those who are saying that the all caps madness that Nitwit Nero sent out to the people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings and follow him, that it was a coded message. I don't know, maybe you record it and play it backwards or something.
Now that the seal is broken, in addition to closing the border and removing all of the criminal elements that have illegally invaded our country, making America energy independent and even dominant again, and immediately ending the war between Russia and Ukraine, I will appoint a real special prosecutor to go after the most corrupt president in the history of the USA, Joe Biden, the entire Biden crime family, and all others involved with the destruction of our elections, borders, and country itself.
Jeff Charlotte saw that and said, seal.
Now that the seal is broken.
And he put seal in single quotation marks. And Jeff Charlotte said, QAnon, and many fundamentalists will read this, and I don't think it's a stretch to imagine Trump's people are aware of that as both the indictment and seventh seal of Revelation, the opening of which heralds the second coming of Christ. And I wish that didn't make as much sense to me as it does. Nitwit Nero is trying to get his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers to think that, well, Joe Biden is the Antichrist. But before that, they said that, now damn it, they said that Barack Obama was the Antichrist. Remember? Because I do. Let's see. We are at the halfway mark of the program. Let's run over to the stress line. I think we got Scary Jerry. Is that you?
That's me. Did you check out the answer? I thought the Little Rascals reference was just adorable. I just can't get off of it. Can you hear me? Or do I need to
No, yes. I see Spanky.
There you go. I just accessed the weirdest feeling. And it's not a good feeling. I said, the last time I felt like this was September 10th, 2001.
That's not encouraging.
And I just let go. I remember it perfectly. I was at ease. I had hooked up with a stripper and had a baby. Boy, this story's off to a fascinating, what they call it. I had a mile, I think I had too much mushrooms or something like that, and I was like, f***ing it off. And I woke up at, about 1 o'clock. And instantly, outside was weird. People weren't honking their horns or, you know, speeding up on the Key West because that was a marathon. A marathon's about the halfway point. That's the point where people start to see the 7 mile bridge and then go, ooh, Key West, and then, you know, they're almost there. It's about 15 miles. But that wasn't going on. Everybody was obeying the speed limit and just kind of driving in a, they were sleepwalking. And Neil Rogers was talking about an attack on the Trade Center, which I thought, quite frankly, was a joke, because Neil did practical jokes like that all the time. Except he was serious. You know, he wasn't cracking any jokes. And I said, Neil, you did this already. You did this in 98, or whenever they did the first one. And I go out, and it's a fishing show or some dumb stuff. Music on every TV is just watching the loop. Which, are you still there, Robin?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Sets up the perfect joke. So I find out what happens. I'm just emotionally crestfallen, and I felt off that whole 2 weeks prior, just like something bad was going to happen. I didn't know what it was. stripper girlfriend comes home. She wasn't a stripper then, the life she left. She comes home oblivious. She had just spent the morning with her new boyfriend, the subsequent father of her second kid. And I go, oh my God, this is so terrible. Don't you think so? And she's like, what? She was literally the only person in North America who had no idea that the because she was fucking. It's taken me 21 years to make that joke.
Oh my God. Not exactly my idea, but not exactly my idea of afterglow.
It was, I was like, wait a second. How come you don't, what the fuck have you been doing? We're under attack. You're slightly Muslim, so I think your ears are peaked up. You have, what did you do? You know, but that's a story for another day. That same vague feeling of dread. That part. Are they going to lose their shit? Well, I've been talking shit, and this leads to our point, our stuff today, 2023. I wanted to send you an email, and then I just got thousands of pages of characters on. I said, you know, fuck it, I got a call. You know you fucked up when it kicked you off of Reddit. That was the subject line. And I, in my meltdown last year, got kicked off of Reddit because I was talking shit to Magaloids. Is my new word for him. I hope it catches on. And I got kicked off. I was too on point, but I was baitable and trollable. I just responded and instantly went back to 1970s Bronx and what I would do to them and their family. And I got kicked off. Got yeeted into the sun. It was organized too. It was an organized group antagonizing people. The industry of protecting Trump from his sins and from accountability is a $1 billion industry. And it all comes to a head tomorrow. Miami destroys presidencies. They're either born there or they're destroyed there. You know what I'm saying, Robin?
Well, this is, this is kind of a sea change for you, Jerry. Because, a couple of days ago, you were like, nah, this is Miami. Nobody's going to show up. It's going to be too hot to protest.
Yeah, until we feel like rioting, because there's that vibe going down. You know, the the riot weather forecast. 30%. We can set shit on fire.
Now back to Fred in the weather center with the riot cast.
It's, I don't know. The last time I saw a Magaloid make it to South Beach, I've seen a couple of them. They seem very confused and very angry. Really not their vibe. I can't say any less for downtown. Just, coming from Ultra Music Fest, which was downtown Miami. The vibe being down for that nonsense. And trucks come through, who knows? That guy who tried to be the voice of underground law enforcement, you're in fucking Orlando, probably in the woods. Shut the fuck up. I don't say that as a and a former and present resident of the 305. My phone has a 305 in it. I can speak. And I'm speaking from my chest today. Y'all keep that MAGA shit to yourselves. That's why he's bitching about it. And I said this, and it didn't make any sense to anybody on Friday, but even as we say on Head On That Live, we're so far ahead of the curve, Google don't know where we're at. They're talking about, oh, Miami, that's kind of messy for Trump. That's why the LA and Canada, nothing is accidental. There wasn't just a fucking rotation. These are stories we believe when we're 5 years old. There's hands all over this. And I think he can get an aggressive jury. That's fair. Miami ain't Trump Town. Maybe Doral, but this ain't in Doral. You hear what I'm saying, Robin?
Yeah, and in fact, there are news stories talking about how that's where they're gathering, is at Doral.
Yeah, direct. Yeah, that's not Miami. All right. There's image management going on. And no, I remember the racist little fucking flags in the 80s. We're the last American leave Miami, please bring the flag. These are the people. Okay. Because they heard a little Spanish and they started feeling weird. A Miami jury, I forget the, it's either Diaz or Croyo. I mean, it's almost in my subconscious. A mayor for $60 million. A lot of people died in Miami from COVID. A lot of,
well, and remember that Monkey Up DeKlantis tried to suppress those numbers.
He didn't test Miami Beach on purpose. Guy's a fucking psychopath. From a family of fucking psychopaths. He did some fuck shit, okay? And I'm not going to say anything about Governor Satan there, because he forcibly inserted things into men's anuses. It was his program that he watched. He watched men pee, not because he had to, because he was ideological.
Wait, hold on. Huh?
During the hunger strikes in Guantanamo.
Yeah.
He put tubes in their mouth and tubes up their butt.
You know what? Yeah. It's not even new science that says that rectal feeding don't work. I mean, part of the nutrition,
it was for the horror.
Yeah, right.
It was for the homoerotica stuff. It was for the forced feeding. And this is a particular triggering subject because I at least struggle once a week on how they couldn't get any nutrients into Carolyn. But I didn't cry today. I'm okay. So he figured out how. And then he delayed them going back for their country. He's just cruel for no point. I want nothing good to come at him, but I can't focus on him right now. I got to focus on the Antichrist dude who does all the Antichrist things, who lives at 666 Park Avenue. Sometimes God gives you.
Well, that's Jared. And do they live at 666 Park Avenue, or does he just own that building?
They still own it. He owned it. Trump bought it, then he sold it to Kushner. And Trump does all of the Antichrist. You don't even have to slow it down and switch back from Aramaic to fucking Hebrew. And the whole world will wonder after the beast and speak great things. Causing even the elect to fall. There's a lot of other scary things past that, but that's not a prophecy. That's a fucking caption on YouTube. So I don't know. I know what I hope for. But no result is good. I mean, once you put aside the euphoria, it has been fucking euphoric watching the Republicans lose their minds. It was a couple of things. I bring this up because my daughter and I was talking about a shared psychic experience that we, oh, this is all woo-woo liberal stuff, so gather in or tune out. Your choice. About a shared psychic experience where we both left our bodies when Jalen being born because the mother was in distress. We did it together and we were each doing it and wanting to make sure everything went right. Things were kind of messy. That's not the point. The point was that something I imagined. And it took us 5 years to even admit that, yeah, that happened. I believe in magical things because a lot of times magical things happen. Shit, Robin, you're magical. But I've told you that before.
Well, thank you.
The show is magical. All right. The reach is magical. I've been spamming YouTube pulled down some of them, but I've been low-key spamming and just engaging with people and going, hey, talk about this shit over here. This is our Super Bowl, Robin. This is the finals. You should be plus 1,600. Seriously. And that's not even slightly delusional. Now is our time. All right? I wish you were in another format to amplify, but that doesn't matter. I used to sell boxes of air and pens. So, actually pitching something I can believe in is refreshing, and it doesn't feel like work or a wait. The point being, need more people. We need to talk about this here. I almost put a spam link in a WPOJ post that I've already, I threw up some Tuck Front propaganda, and people are giving me a thumbs up. Eyeballs are on this thing. People are into it. They're scared, and they're dangerous. I don't know. I mean, I tried to tell y'all that the random shootings weren't random. So, y'all, coming around to that. Both of me and my daughter are usually pretty depressed because we sometimes see the nature of things, and it sucks. We'd rather believe in ice cream and bunnies and cotton candy. We run to those worlds whenever we can. She's a big MCU fan. I love science. And Star Trek's my jam. Discovery. You know, a lot of Discovery hate is just straight racism. It's terrible, really. I mean, that's a side thing, but the hate for Discovery is palpable. And it's all this anti-woke. They go, the show's too woke. It's too many gay people. Fuck you, people. The special effects are amazing. The storylines are compelling. They do shit. There's cool aliens. There's cool alien people. It's a cool bridge. And they go pew, pew, pew a lot. That's Star Trek. Right? Right? Yes?
Seems like yes.
Yeah. That's too much. Too many black people on that bridge. And the school yard makes no sense. Anyways. I'm coming to an awareness, and it's weird as the days, well, there's something that stuck in my head a long time ago, then it happened right before the my 9/11 trip, and it happened just watching religion see some things. I once saw something on Reddit or somewhere that Christianity is a mushroom cult. In fact, I've had the weirdest psychic impression, and I've been 99.8% sober. I just smoked a tiny tear joint with my little girlfriend here, but I've been wanting to.
That's like ivory soap, 99.9% pure.
Yeah. The point is, Christianity was a mushroom cult. I had this trip once, which scared me away from mushrooms for 20 years, that, this whole eat of my body, drink of my blood, was mushrooms and psychedelic wine. Because one of the ways, what's old is new again, what's new is old, one of the great ways for you to get thrown in front of a lion in a coliseum was to be caught with psychedelics, or psychedelic wine, ergot wine, as they called it, in the Roman Empire.
This is a side of ancient Rome with which I am not familiar.
Yeah, they started the drug war. In fact, in 2012, Constantinople, or 212 AD, Constantinople, or whoever the emperor or Caesar was, said that to join back, because Rome was already falling apart, they're going to get rid of all religions, have a state religion, the original Holy Roman Catholic Church, and they were going to ban all sacraments, punishable by death.
There's the and it's written about, I think it was Vespasian who ordered that every Roman citizen come and do homage to an image of him. I want to say Vespasian. And some Christians refused, and so consequently they were executed.
No, it was the cannabis and the cannabis oils that Jesus used to heal. Like
No. This is real. Oh, this is factual. I mean, this is in the historic record.
I know.
Some Christians refused to do the prayer to the image of the emperor, and were executed as a result. Period.
Yeah,
but it is worth knowing, however. And I might be wrong about it being Vespasian, but it's worth noting that when that stuff everybody thinks it all took place in the Flavian Amphitheater, what we call the Colosseum. It did not. It happened in the Circus Maximus. To the extent that it happened in Rome, people could be executed elsewhere. Remember, after the Spartacus revolt, Marcus Licinius Crassus had all the members of that rebellion crucified along the Appian Way, thousands of people, all the way up the Appian Way to Rome. Must have been a real mess after a while. But
Rome controlled with religion.
Well, Rome was actually pretty open to most religions. Oh, and it's kind of the way Indian culture was. Oh, you've got a new god? Good. Come over here. Ganesha? New god. New god, Ganesha.
At the start, all the gods became saints.
Isis, you know, the Isis cult came into Rome and was roundly embraced. The Mithras cult.
At the beginning. I'm talking about 2000 or 212 AD.
Well, it's the arrival... It's after the split of the empire into the east and the west, then the conversion of Constantine.
Yes.
And the conversion of Constantine is somewhere in the early 300s, I think. Don't quote
it's me. It's in that range.
But Constantine simply wanted a means of protecting his power. And there was a big Mithras cult in his daddy's legions, which were originally in Britain, and then Constantine takes over. There's a bunch of Mithraists, and there's a whole bunch of Christians. And so, the night before the Battle of the Milvian Bridge, confusing it with a Seinfeld episode. The night before the Battle of the Milvian Bridge, leading into Rome. He claims to have seen a sign of a cross in the sky and heard a voice saying, "In hoc signo vinces," in this sign you will conquer. And so but by the same token, he embraced Christianity, Constantine did, and he started his own new city over there in the old Byzantium.
But the guy was literally
baptized on his deathbed because he never fully converted.
He assimilated Christianity, and he made the power of Rome Sunday worship.
And then his grandson comes along, Julian, and says, no, we're going to go back to the old religion. And starts shutting down Christian churches and whatnot. And in a very short span of time, people adopted Christianity, and they didn't like what Julian did. And so Julian got all dead.
We're having the same conversation, aren't we? What's old is new again. The only thing that will save this planet is if everyone after, you know, the basics, food, shelter, something to do, money to make, is a sense of connection to the planet. The first, this whole...
Well, look, the
nowhere in the Bible does it say burn everything to the ground.
No, no, it doesn't. The Bible doesn't say half of what people think the Bible does say, and a lot of things the Bible does say, they don't even know. Because you know that group of that parent in what was it, Davis Independent School District in Utah, who said Bible's got to go. It's full of a bunch of filth and vulgarity and pornography, rape and incest, and that parent was right.
And cannibalism. And cannibalism. There's cannibalism in the Bible. Yeah. I read that as an unsuspecting kid on a Saturday one day. I'm still not right. I'm like, I need somebody to help me through this passage.
But, you know, what I was going to say a minute ago is the Aeolian lyric poets of ancient Greece said that that every human being's essential nature was the search for the person who completes us. Literally a search for love.
Remember when Nixon started punching hippies?
I didn't know Nixon punched any hippies. I thought he had people. I thought he had people to do that for him.
Well, ideologically, that's not a new thing. All right, I was thinking this, and I was going, wait a second. Isn't me buying a cannabis car a saying that I can't own a gun? Which is a weird time not throwing a gun, I got to be honest. But more importantly, B, isn't that kind of like the registry program in, what was that, Germany? I mean, in blue states, no. But blue states are going to pull off. And this is important. And we're not talking about recreationally. Blue states are going to pull legalization. But in states, you got to get a car. You got to give us money, and you have to buy your weed from the people who used to try to arrest you for buying weed, which I can't wrap my mind around. It's like buying it's like having a vegan butcher or a mechanic who hates cars. And it's all fucking rigged. You know, it's people who gave to the campaign, and nobody who loves weed. I bring this up because I had one of these churchy types stop me on my morning prayer meditation and joint on Sunday and just lay in. He had no ears to listen but lots to say. And I was like, wow, you know what? This is just a religious finger wagging on a Sunday. You feel really empowered. I should have said, sir, I'm only allowed to listen to circumcised men. I need some proof, please. But no, I thought of that later. I was just kind of shocked that he had so much to say and didn't even know, hey, how you doing? What's going on with you? You just, you should take better care of yourself and blah, 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 blah. Weed is one of the reasons I don't smack people who need smacking. We'll just put that out there. I didn't smack him, all right? I didn't even get that mad at him because I was like, well, he's doing what he thinks is right, I suppose. It's not. Because I have a different perspective. My original 7-day adventures, and this is the point I'm wrapping up. My original 7-day adventures believed that the persecution would be because of the day you worship. And I was like, at 12 years old, I'm like, I'm hearing you, but there's a lot of Jews, and Jews aren't going to let that happen again. Jews are going to come out shooting. So, and Jews kind of learn shit. I'm not saying that as a racist person, I'm saying that as a man with two Jew-making children. There's a half Jewish and a half Jamaican. And that's fine. And if you go, well, okay, the Muslim, the followers of Islam are the ones persecuted. Yeah, kind of low-key, but that's more a Israeli psyop so they can steal Arab land. And this is all about real estate, which is the saddest thing in all of the the Muslim hate, you know, that fear in the world comes from. No, the only group that's really persecuted by the prophetic definition are the hippies. You know, the ones tying themselves to trees and sit down protesting and have a joint in their car or have a little bit of mushroom or a rave jumping up and down without an assault or a rave, just music, dancing, and smiles. All are welcome. Those are the most persecuted states. In fact, if the Rainbow Posse thinks it's being targeted, look over at the ravers and the nonconformists. Look at them. It's all the same misstep. It literally is. And it started in 1970, Richard Nixon. He put the hippies in a place, man. You
know? Well, he and Nelson Rockefeller.
Yeah. Because he put the hippies in their place because they were making us feel bad about Vietnam. That's literally what that was. And I'm saying this is a child in the 70s who learned English watching Walter Cronkite talk about the Vietnamese War and then watching all the Vietnamese refugees come. And then watching the Vietnamese hate. And then watching people jump up and down and busing. School choice. As Bane said, Batman comes bathed in your racism. Bastion. I'm not saying the earth is the system. I would turn off, and this would piss my mom off, I would turn off, because she would say, watch only this. So I would turn off Sesame Street or Zoom and watch black and white pictures of German shepherds buying black girls and fire hoses and wondering what the fuck I was looking at. Or cheering for Robert Kennedy, OG edition, John F. Kennedy, Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King, but never seen the end of the story. These guys were hoping to see speak when they were dead. So, here we are, indictment day tomorrow. They want to keep things more fucked up. In fact,
I have a question for you, Jerry. Are you going to stay stay the hell way far away from anywhere this shit could be going down tomorrow? If in fact anything does go down,
I am an upper middle class. Caribbean neighborhood. 60% of police officers being Caribbean. I'm going to stay close to home.
Good man. That was going to be my advice.
Because that was, part of me wanted to go through tomatoes, and I started getting excited and almost manic about it. I'm like, no, that sounds like one of the last things you did. I'm like, yeah.
No more Baker. No more Baker Act, please.
No Baker Act. Riot. Tomorrow might be riot day or might be nothing. Who knows? I don't know. I think it's going to rain all day, to be honest with you. In fact, that's what I'm hoping for. There's some storm system setting up. And I hope it just rains and rains and rains. Because I don't want them to bash up and shoot up my beautiful, beautiful, beautiful mind. Beautiful. It's beautiful for
no reason.
It really is.
Well, listen, I want you to stay safe and report back, you know, if there's anything going down.
I will. I hope most of this call was coherent. I hope this most of the call was coherent. And hold on, let me change something before you. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, it's me.
We're all going to make it through this. It's all going to be interesting as hell. I'm glad I could call in and just, shit. saying this stuff at a bar might get me beat up, but that's the only forum I could
This is better than saying it in a bar.
Yeah, this is our own virtual little bar here. It's our liberal treehouse. Fuck you. That's why.
maggots not welcome, period, ever.
And I hope I made a good call for the cause. I hope I didn't dart around too much and tied it all.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
We're in a religious war.
Oh, they want one. They want one. That's for sure.
No, we're in one. If they want one, you're in one.
You might be interested with mentioning religious war. This is a significant day. It was June the 12th, 2016, when a lawful gun owner walked into the Pulse nightclub in Orlando and began slaughtering people. 49 That's dead dark. And 53 wounded. So a memorandum came out on Friday from the office of Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up DeSantis. I want you to listen to the language of this, Jerry, and see if you.
I have a response to this, but yeah, you're going to make me listen to Ron DeSantis. All right,
I'm just going to read. I'm just going to read it, and I don't have a Ron DeSantis voice worked up yet, so we're safe from that.
Please don't. Don't. We're good. I have a Ron DeSantis voice. Pretty good.
Oh, yuck. There went my post show snack.
He has that really awkward timing that he has dirty underwear, but he doesn't want to let it go.
Hold on. You're getting very close to doing Ben Shapiro.
Well, yeah, I am. But okay, Ron even has, and it's more annoying because he's trying to sound Bush. Yeah.
Okay. So this is just the memorandum that came out of his office on Friday. Flags at half staff in honor of Pulse Remembrance Day. So I want to see if you notice the same thing that I notice. It's a little game. You have to read my mind. 7 years ago, on June 12, 2016, a shooter claiming alliance to the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant committed a horrific act of terrorism against the LGBTQ and Hispanic communities at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, Florida. At the time, it was the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. 49 people were killed and 53 were wounded. As a mark of respect for the victims, their families, and the many affected by this tragedy, I hereby direct the flags of the United States and the state of Florida to be flown at half staff at all local and state buildings, installations, and grounds throughout the state of Florida from sunrise to sunset on Monday, June 12th, 2023.
The Disney pressure is working. I have a lot of options there. First of all, and I said this to someone,
Hold on. I want to know if you picked up any of that language.
Yeah, the Islamic guy, he's blaming it on the Islamic people.
Yeah, it was a terrorist attack, not a homophobic attack.
That's and the whole United States thing, he was trying to speak at president. There's a lot of stuff there that
The one that jumped off the page at me was the title of the memorandum, Flags at Half Staff in Honor of Pulse Remembrance Day.
Oh, shit.
It almost sounds like he's honoring the shooter.
He said that wrong. Yeah, he's honoring the shooter and cleaned it up.
And it's because he's not an actual human being, okay? We used to talk about the Romney bot. Well, this is the DeSantis bot, and I don't even think it's made it to beta yet. A human being writing human being language would say flags at half staff in observance of Pulse Remembrance Day, not in honor of.
Yeah, that's the word that pops out of autocorrect. It suggested if you're a normal fucking politician. What you say?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't
admiration, which, you know, he was halfway there. I'm also too a knower of words.
Yeah.
The point I was trying to make, there's two things I cringe, like most people cringe about Sandy Hook. I cringe when anybody says Parkland, and I cringe when anybody says Pulse Nightclub, because I haven't processed that yet. I feel like a Quantum Leap character showing up in 2023. That's another story for another day, who last checked in 2008. But here's my point. I have, for the last 20 years, on and off, worked in club security. Did you know that?
I did, because it goes all the way back to the time that you called in and explained where Jerry Falwell and Becca were when they took their little...
But I was in security, promotion, operations, cleanup, so many beer bottles. Anyways, the point is, the idea, okay, of somebody opening fire in a nightclub is one of my nightmares.
Yeah.
It's one of those things I try not to even think about, because there were so many nights that I figured that shit out and got sending person out of the club, where I could see, okay, in 10 minutes, this guy's going to shoot up the club, because that was really my job. That's not stated, but that's your job. They shoot up the club. We don't have a job. And you can't even tell anybody you work here, because they're like, oh, you're the guy, shut up. And you're the security guy. The industry is really small, believe it or not. That's the thing that the underlying thing that you're supposed to take care of, not even at the door, down the street, you know, as you're smoking a cigarette, who looks like they're going to shoot up the club. And I'm not alone in that. So the idea, and one of the most places I've ever been, I always forget the fucking name of that club. Anyway, it's a gay club in Twist in South Beach that has 7 floors. It is significant. I mean, there's a straight part, there's the lesbian part, the trans part, the regular gay guys, the house. It's just wonderful. It really is. I was scared the first time, and I'm like, oh, it's fun in there. And they don't check really well at the door, you know? They kind of let everything in. And you just, you know, you're in, you know? No cover, no ID, no. The idea of somebody shooting. And from what I remember, he lingered, didn't he? He lingered. Had a couple of drinks and got a shit and shot at the place. It wasn't a run-in like they normally are.
I think you're right, yes.
I remember the details of shit like that. Really, what I allow myself to read, because I have too many relevant things. Point being, when he went out, I said, that makes sense. Right to me. He didn't like it, he liked it, so he had to kill everybody. I like when things make sense, even when they're terrible. So for Governor Fuckface, after the living air, I pronounce that like a proven person, let me air, his trends to do that, what's wrong with this guy? He could have just shut the fuck up. Gay people jumping up and down in Florida is at least 5% of the economy. And we're all for it, or were anyways. I mean, gay people are the best tippers, the nicest, bring the largest groups, most organ. And I'm talking about it from a tourism perspective, ideology aside. I mean, if there's a straight event with 50 people, the gay event is 500 people. And they're all spending 10 times with the 50 people because they have disposable income. It's simple math. Even if you totally hate them, and I don't, but even if you totally hate them, it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then they go home. Cry in your bank accounts. And if they're gone, everybody will be pissed. And they can go anywhere. Don't have to come here. Nope. Dos.
still go to QS because QS ain't on that shit. But we're already hurting a little bit. It's ridiculous. I mean, I thought about going back to New York late. I really have. Or even to Minnesota. Minnesota women are attractive. And they're super progressive there. And they got water.
Some places.
Well, yeah, I know how that works. I mean, I don't think in Minnesota they're as bad as Ohio.
Our pal Jessica in the Rochester, Minnesota Greater Co-Prosperity Sphere can attest otherwise. It ain't all liberalism, but it's still a better state than most.
They're trying. I mean, I used to have similar feelings about Michigan because I think it's a biosphere down here. We got 10 years. And insurance companies have modeling computers. They know what's up. They got better weather computers than NOAA, or at least as good, or they rent server time. I used to date an actuary. I know how they think. And the thing is, if they're backing out, and we're talking million-dollar homes that they're going to move.
Can't get insurance. Can't get insurance.
Yeah, there's something to it. Can't get insurance. And in the last insurance.
The people who have to actually worry about their money know that climate change is real.
Yeah.
And the best way for them to hang on to their money is not insure houses in places where hurricanes come and blow down the houses.
I'm vacillating between that and just getting a piece of hurricane abandoned property and just putting a tiny house on it, because there's a lot of that. See, I'll probably stick to that.
Well, you know, for 10,000 plus years, human beings lived down there and did so with hurricanes that came through. And here's the trick. They built homes out of things that were easily replaced.
And they lived
lightly on the land.
The difference between houses built in the 40s and the houses now is just houses built in the 40s were smaller. And they had less angles because they'd actually seen Category 5.
Yes.
And we forget. I mean, I don't want to talk about hurricanes
John D. McDonald, he of the Travis McGee series, which I absolutely love, and I've talked about it a million times.
Oh, I got a show recommendation too.
But he said, everyone who comes to Florida lives there for a year and says, this is wonderful. We need to stop other people from being able to come to Florida before they ruin it. And he wrote that in the 1960s.
They said that in the 1920s. Shit, they said that in 1868.
The honest reality of it is places like Arizona and places like Florida, some parts of Texas, God knows the coastal degradation that's happened in Louisiana, Stan. They are fundamentally and realistically past their carrying capacity. But we just keep stacking human beings on it and building condos that pancake.
And you know what? Denying or ignoring rail. High-speed rail all across the country. You know, when I was a kid, I heard you'd be able to have lunch in New York and go back to your home in Nebraska. Hell, they told me that at Epcot. And we could do that, but we don't because you want to know why? I was just thinking this, and I'm going to wrap this up on this, and then I'll leave my recommendation. Because black people could come here high speed and leave, and they might do black people things. How much money has racism cost this country? How many trillions of dollars?
So when you have the oil company go, no, you need a car. You don't need a rail. No monorail for you.
Well, you reminded me of, you know, one of my favorite albums, Donald Fagen's The Nightfly, and the song IGY. Standing tough under stars and stripes, we can tell this dream's in sight. You've got to admit it at this point in time that it's clear. The future looks bright. On that train, all graphite and glitter, undersea by rail, 90 minutes from New York to Paris. Well, by 76, we'll be A-OK. Get your ticket to that
now
wheel.
I got to play that tonight.
Get your ticket to that wheel in space while there's time. The fix is in. You'll be a witness to that game of chance in the sky. You know we've got to win. Here at home, I love this. Here at home, we'll play in the city powered by the sun. Perfect weather for a streamlined world. There'll be spandex jackets, one for everyone.
They nailed it. Jackets or spandex today. In fact, I have a spandex hoodie that breathes. It's awesome. It's fisherman stuff. It's not really spandex, but that's like that similar material, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, it's never a bad night for a Donald Fagen reference.
And no, I got, what's the name of the song?
IGY. It's off of the Nightfly album.
IGY. Show reference or show recommendation? The Lazarus Project. It's only 8 episodes. I hope the writer's strike doesn't destroy it. But I'm, wow. It's like if Men in Black could time travel.
What platform is it on?
Shit, I could send the link.
I can look it up.
One of them?
Everybody, just, yeah, one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Look it up. And here's the low-key send Robin your subscription for whatever you're listening on service this month. Get that bill down.
Well, I have some happy news. I haven't been getting notifications, but I have some happy news. Thank you ever so kindly to George. Thank you very, very much. Our friend George in Coarse Gold. We were at 1600, and thanks to George and thanks to Mary, who did have a show on me, Mary in San Francisco. Thank you so much, Mary. We're down to 1250. So, we knocked out a show from 2 weeks ago. That's awesome.
Let's do this. I wish I had more than pennies. All I can send is love.
Love is good.
If a horn listener wants to type in the letters soap today, with two being today and day at .co, and they have a Brave browser, or they can watch whatever they want. And the money you save there, send it to Robin. No creepy ads. Make sure you have the Brave browser. I think that's it. Is Brave on Android? I mean, on Apple?
I don't know.
Can you get more than Safari on the Apple?
Oh, yeah, you can. I've got Chrome and Firefox. And
Brave. Brave has the best ad blocking technology. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a huge memory-wise ad, but everything works. Check out the Lazarus Project over there, or Ted Lasso. It's really easy to navigate. And take that money that you saved, that HBO Max money, or that Netflix money, and send it to Robin. She needs it. I need to hear Robin every day, so I don't do anything. So you don't see me on TV doing crazy shit, because the cryon will say scary Jerry.
Jerry,
and you'll officially know.
Yes, Jerry with a G. Yes.
And they cry out, and you'll go, "Oh shit! I know that Florida man." And wherever you are, you'll be slightly embarrassed.
I think
so.
That. No, I think you'll be okay as long as you don't rob a liquor store with an alligator.
Wow. You know, I almost had a crocodile bite me, but that's another story. I didn't realize that crocodiles could endure salt water, and I was like, "Is that no that?" And I put my foot in the water, and oh, let me get out of here! It was stalking me, for a full 30 minutes. One of my huge adventures here, but yeah, I love you all. Send money to Robin. It's, I mean, and I'm a little biased. I think the show's fire tonight. So many things.
Thank
you. Too bad you can't go 3 hours. Actually, we have gone 3 hours. Too bad you can't go 5 hours because there's just so much to say and so much to think about. So this is history. This is history. We're luxuriating history with one of the best speakers ever on this platform. So chip in, call in, text in, and let's do this. Let's survive the Trump indictment. Let's thrive during the Trump indictment. I've been sick since 2016, and I feel a little bit better.
Welcome to 2023, Jerry. It's a hell of a ride. You take care of yourself, hon.
Thank you, miss. Take care.
Bye.
Hug, what's her name?
Annette.
Your roommate.
Annette.
Annette and the cat for me. Thank you kindly.
All the cats will be hugged. All right. Take care, Jerry. Scary Jerry does not have it in him to make a boring phone call. Just doesn't. So that was amazing. I don't know how many of you watched the Tonys last night. I didn't. But it was apparently on. And it ran on CBS, and somebody didn't care how political it got because it got political. And among the best was Danae Benton, an actor. And she came on to present the award, the Theater Education Award from Carnegie Mellon University, CMU, up in Pittsburgh. Awesome, awesome school. So, Danae Benton stepped up to the podium and said the following. Hi, because the recipient was a high school in Florida. Hi, I'm Danae Benton, actor and proud CMU alum. I'm certain that the current governor of my home state of Florida, I'm sure that he'll be changing the name of this following town immediately. We were honored to present this award to the truly incredible and life-changing Zason Zembuck Young, enhancing the lives of students at South Plantation High School in Plantation, Florida. And there was a moment of silence as people processed what Danae Benton said, and then they broke out into roars and cheers. She's been in Natasha, Hamilton, Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, Into the Woods. One person said, the Grand Wizard, current governor of my home state of Florida, Danae Benton did what needed to be done. It was fantastic and accurate. Danae Benton calls Ron DeSantis a grand wizard on the Tonys. And you know that thin-skinned little prick is absolutely seething over it. And it was a very LGBTQ evening at the Tonys, and there was some beautiful stuff. Beautiful, beautiful moments. I'm really proud of Danae Benton, Grand Wizard. And yeah, let's get somebody right on that. Kids don't need to be going to Plantation High School, and people don't need to live in Plantation County or Plantation City. And while we're at it, let's do something about Lee County, Florida. Could we? Pretty please? But it's a... You know, I posted something on social media last week. It was just a meme that said, wishing all the homophobes out there a very uncomfortable Pride Month. And as I noted, the Proud Boys and Matt Walsh, various right-wing asswipes, have said they were going to target Pride celebrations. And so they are. There is in New York City, and I would like to see it the next time I go there, a Stonewall National Monument. And today, the New York City Police Department confirmed that they are investigating an incident in which three dudes, attacked rainbow pride flags that were on display at the Stonewall National Monument. New York City Council member Eric Botcher represents Greenwich Village, and he said someone vandalized the rainbow flag display on the Stonewall National Monument on Christopher Street, snapping the flag sticks and throwing them on the ground. If anyone thinks this is going to intimidate us or weaken our resolve, they're mistaken. And the National Monument is directly across the street from the original Stonewall Inn. And, you know, similar things happened last year and are continuing to happen this year. Last week in Tempe, Arizona, somebody took down a pride flag and burned it outside a city hall building. In February, somebody set fire to a pride flag outside a Manhattan restaurant. And then, of course, there's Marginal Trailer Queen. She lost her shit over the rainbow flag. Unfortunately, I have the audio.
You're told you can't say things like this, and I'm going to say it. I just drove up to here at the Gaylord, and I saw...
By the way, no one tells her that she can't say things. No, because she says them. She's not being canceled. She's not being silenced. Made obvious by the fact that she's still running her filthy gob.
Saw three flags. And one of the flags, which was just as big as the other ones, our United States flag, the Texas flag, was the rainbow flag. And the rainbow flag...
This is at some grunting, barking, bleating meeting of Turning Point USA. I guess that's Charlie Kirk, right? The man with the largest head in the world.
The rainbow flag, as we all know, represents what we're going, Pride Month right now. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I'm standing in this, in the Gaylord, and they might kick me out and never want me to come back.
Oh.
Shame on them. Shame on them. Shame on them for hanging that flag out there. Shame on them.
Boo! Boo, you whore.
Because it shouldn't be about what people do sexually that causes us to hang a flag somewhere. The only flags that should ever be hung should be our United States flag, and it's big and beautiful in the back of this room.
I'm thoroughly convinced that the goddess of irony caused her to talk about things being hung. But, well, that's me.
And a state flag. So shame on the Gaylord. I'm surprised one of y'all haven't shimmied up that flagpole yet and taken it down.
Well, someone's trying to incite a little, violence. Well, it didn't work out so well. Because everybody immediately remembered the Confederate flag and the Trump flags that were carried in, around, and through the Capitol on that little dust up on January the 6th, 2021. Someone said, girl, hush. Your people had Confederate flags everywhere. Then stop waving Trump flags around, okay, hypocrite? Well, you're a big red flag. Meanwhile, she's out there hustling Trump flags. We have the largest selection of President Donald Trump flags for sale, from Keep America Great flags to Save America Again flags. You're sure to find the Trump flag that you want and need. God, she is such trash. Like the dumpster out behind the elementary school where all the food that didn't get eaten got thrown away, and all the stuff that the custodians clean up after little children gets, that kind. Matt in San Francisco observes a subject line, Stonewall. When's the last time you heard about gay people ripping down flags? Never, because we don't do that shit. Fuck Marge. Well, I'll take a powder on that last part, and I'm sure you will too, Matt. God, just imagine. That could be. Just contemplating someone having sex with Marginal Trailer Queen is enough to do. That's a full 3-hour nauseation. That's all time zones just trashed. Thank God I only got toward the end of the story. The kerfuffle continues. The entirely treasonous United States Conference of Catholic Bishops put out another statement today going after the L.A. Dodgers for honoring the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. So the bishops, you know, men in dresses, said, "This year on June 16th, the day of the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a professional baseball team has shockingly chosen to honor a group whose lewdness and vulgarity in mocking our Lord, his mother, and consecrated women cannot be overstated. This is not just offensive and painful to Christians everywhere. It is blasphemy."
Blasphemy only applies to people who believe in your silly religion, Bishop. And if you're thinking that what the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence do is lewd and vulgar, well, that's because you have lewdness and vulgarity in your hearts. And besides, I bet there's not a member of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops who haven't looked the other way while one of their underlings fucked little boys. So, you know, fuck right off. All the way into the sun. Meanwhile, as Matt said, you know, we don't do that shit. On the website of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, it says, "We are a leading-edge order of queer and trans nuns, and we fundraise for AIDS, HIV prevention, and other LGBTQ-related issues. We believe all people have a right to express their unique joy and beauty. We use humor and irreverent wit to expose the forces of bigotry, complacency, and guilt that chain the human spirit." The news story I'm working from says, "The group issued a statement accepting the Dodgers' apology after meeting with team CEO Stan Kasten and state and local lawmakers." I knew Stan Kasten once. I did. Came to my engagement party back in 1987 or so. Brushes with greatness. That was back when he was with the Braves. But I do. U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, you fucking hypocrites. God, I'm mad about it. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops needs their 501c3 yanked. But, you know, that's just me, and I'm a bitch. No, really. This is politics. This is not religion, what they did. It's not religion. It's not religion when they scream about withholding the sacrament from Democratic politicians and political candidates, but at the same time providing that same sacrament to warmongering Republicans who never found a brown country they didn't want to bomb into the Stone Age. And let's go ahead and deal with this. Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Granny, is pissed off at the North Face, the clothing adventure gear company, over partnering with a drag queen whose ad is completely wholesome. So she, she's Atne Ute Aitbre, if you own what I ain't. She went to the Western Conservative Summit in Denver. It was a Clavern rally. And so they invited her up on the stage to make noises with her mouth. And she said, "There's wokeism in the corporate world." And then she said, "Bud Light or tranny fluid?" And the crowd just laughed and laughed. And she grinned like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. She said, "They've lost $27 billion in revenue because you took a stand." Oh, sweetie. Look at AB InBev's quarterly profit and loss statement. It ain't losing. It's profiting. A lot. Tranny fluid. Jesus. You know, she's just sad because that's one of the few words she can get away with using. If she had her druthers, she'd like to use a lot more. Somebody pointed out, she won't use that slur to Caitlyn Jenner's face. And accurately responding, another individual said, "Caitlyn would probably approve, actually. She's the worst." Remember, Caitlyn Jenner, instead of letting people wonder if she was an idiot, opened her mouth and removed all doubt. After the indictment of Nitwit Nero was announced, she ran to Twitter to say, "Dark day. Oh, go hit off the ladies' tee, honey." I really do want to know. Seriously, I do. I want to know if Caitlyn Jenner, when she plays golf with all and smokes cigars with her cigar-smoking, golf-playing cronies, I wonder if she hits off the ladies' tee. I wonder if the boys let her. Big hitter, the llama. Oh, by the way, back to when Scary Jerry said, you know, hug the cat. Jimmy in the Great Northwest said, "Give the cats a hug for Jerry, because sometimes it is about the cat, Robin." Well played. Well, cowbell. Annette and I are both looking for the cowbells, and I don't know where they went. It's weird. I wonder if the little underage girl that her son banged has... made Clanny Granny an actual granny yet. I haven't. You know. And this is frightening. Granted, it comes out of the UK, but a lot of the same diseases that we have here metastasize across the pond and vice versa. Turfery began in the UK and metastasized westward, you know, with the help of Joanne Rowling. Well, a woman in the UK has just been sent to prison for over 2 years because she got RU486, the abortion pill, and it was past the official time limit. And the Crown prosecuted her. And she's got 28 months behind bars. She was sentenced today. She actually got the pills from the government, because the government created a pills by mail program during the pandemic. She's 44 years old. She's a mother of three, and she couldn't be pregnant again. They sent her the pills legally, which she took, and now she's up the river. It all went down at Crown Court in Stoke-on-Trent. She couldn't find out how far along she was because the pandemic was on, and she couldn't get an appointment to go and get a scan of the fetus. The judge said of her, "In my judgment, your culpability was high, because you knew full well your pregnancy was beyond the limit of 24 weeks, and you deliberately lied to gain access to telemedical services. I accept you feel immense guilt and remorse. You are racked by guilt and suffer depression. You are plagued by nightmares from seeing the baby's face." And she had pled guilty to an offense that was created by a bunch of men and men only at a time when women did not even have the vote in the UK, to wit, 1861 and the Offenses Against the Person Act. Under that odious piece of legislation, she could have done life in prison. So in the UK, the question is open. What does this mean for women's reproductive rights there? The day before her sentencing, the British Pregnancy Advisory Service said, "What kind of a society treats women this way? Yours. Mine. Unless the law is reformed, more women and girls will face the trauma of lengthy police investigations and the threat of prison." Oh, and by the way, in case anybody's wondering, the average length of a prison sentence in England for a violent offense is 18 months. Labour MP Stella Creasy said, "This is happening here, not America, El Salvador, or Poland. Here in the UK, access to abortion should be a human right, not based on criminal statutes, but for women in England, Scotland, and Wales, it's still not legal, and cases like this show human, tragic consequences. Mandu Reid is the leader of the Women's Equality Party in the UK. She said, this case highlights how archaic the laws that govern our reproductive rights are. They date back to before women having the right to vote. Abortion is health care. No one should be criminalized for seeking health care. I hope the judge sees sense. The judge did not. The Women's Equality Party itself said this sentence is cruel and utterly heartbreaking. No woman should go to prison for seeking health care. It's not in the public interest to rip her away from her children and imprison her. Remember, she has three children and is 44 years old. We must decriminalize abortion. Until then, women are at risk. Well, you want to bet the judge is a TERF, too. But some countries do get things right. And good on them. Granted, a word like Ayafyallayokul is hard to pronounce. But you can get there. I presume along with the rest of Icelandic. But this past Friday, by a vote of 53 yes to 3 abstentions, it is now a crime to subject anyone in Iceland to the practice known as conversion therapy. Another word for conversion therapy is torture. And the Icelandic Parliament's law says that it is banned on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. And in Iceland, anyone who does that, anyone who forces a child to undergo conversion therapy, can spend up to 5 years in prison. And if anyone tries to force an adult to do it, they face up to 3 years. And then those who actually do the conversion therapy are looking at 2 years in Icelandic prison. Interestingly, the bill passed 53 yes to 3 abstentions, even though anti-trans hate groups who were influenced by English TERF groups went hammer and tongs opposing it. They even said they'd killed the bill. Now the bill is law. And let's see, what did I see earlier? Congratulations to New York. New York has just declared itself from a legislative via legislation to be a refuge state for people who have to flee places like Alabama. Tennessee, West Virginia. So, thanks for doing that in Albany. Well, that's pretty much the program. Thanks, everybody. Oh, by the way, a little tech note coming from Micah. She says third-party browsers are still using Safari's engine. It's just the window dressing. Last I knew, this was true anyway. Thank you, Micah. Thanks to all of you for being here for this Morning Monday. Thanks for the lovely note, Mellow Moonlit Meadow. Thank you. I love that. Thank you for the Have a Show on Me. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to George and Mary. Thank you. You got us down to 1250. We covered a little over an entire show from the backlog. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who helped keep this program going. Thanks to each and every one of you who share in this little ongoing conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Roger in the chat room this evening. Thank you to Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please, wherever you take the podcast, like it or follow it or love it or whatever the podcast platform describes it as, leave a comment. It really does help. Share it on your social media. Really appreciate it. It's lovely when new people come into the conversation. It genuinely is. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. COVID's still out there. Other stuff's out there, too. Get your boosters if you're eligible. Goodness me, if you think you're even remotely around a maggot, put on a mask. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer. Carry some with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And if some idiot from Colorado comes down the sidewalk talking about tranny fluid, well, ignore that clanny granny like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.